Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
What does spirituality mean to CJ, and how do you get to integrate spirituality into the modern biohacking and all of this scientific stuff?
So I guess spirituality starts where biohacking ends. When we look around us, a lot of people are tired, they're sick, they have different kind of neurochemicals that allow them to go to anxiety or depression or panic or all of these states which are not desirable, right?
It's all over. And now this is when people like us that work with mind, body and soul are even more important.
Whatever you do, don't do too much and don't do too less, because nature doesn't operate on too much. Nature doesn't operate on the extremes. It operates in the Goldilocks zone.
It's something that's always been within, because we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience.
I love it.
Hey there, my beautiful souls. This is Riz, your spiritual and manifestation coach. The professional world knows me as Dr. Rizwana Husseindeen, and my inner circle lovingly calls me Riz. I'm passionate about one thing, which is to be of service and support to fellow human beings and to help them heal and live a joyous life. I am fortunate enough to do this through teaching, coaching, mentoring, and various healing modalities. I also consider myself an advocate of children's eye health and mental health. Let the Soul Speak is the platform through which I started to connect with the world. And today on Let the Soul Speak, we have with us CJ, a leading biohacker in the UAE, growing to be a global leader. To Riz, CJ is a good friend, a brother, and a kindred soul. Our paths crossed a few years ago, and I was on CJ's podcast, Shift with CJ, almost 18 months ago, a long time. And in that conversation, something happened. We made a statement. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. CJ has brought so many people on his podcast and talks about what they offer to the world. But both of us know that there are always backstories. What inspired us, what spiritually anchored us, and what transformed us in our journey. So today, I have CJ with us, and we're going to take CJ beyond peptides into his purpose, beyond sauna into spirituality. And so the theme of today's episode is Upgrade Your Human, the Shift with CJ.
I love it.
Thank you, CJ, first of all, for agreeing to be on this podcast. And today happening to be Dhanteras, a very auspicious day, the day of the divine physician blessing all of us. I think it's so ironical that we're doing it, talking about biohacking, wellness, and your spiritual journey. And any opening remarks before we jump into the Upgrade Your Human?
No, firstly, I just want to appreciate you for all the work that you've been doing for so many years. And I know it's not been an easy journey for you. And with it not being easy, you have never given up, or maybe you've had some moments that were difficult, but you're still here and you're still continuing to do the work. So I'm really, really grateful that I can share this podcast with you, this stage with you. And she's right. We're friends. She's like a sister to me, a guide. Sometimes I message her if I want something or if I'm not clear about something. So I feel this is very auspicious. And I would say let's get right into it. And I hope at least one of you who's listening can have something valuable. And like, if we can impact your life in the most smallest way, then, you know, our purpose is done here. We'll try our best. I promise.
Yeah, we're going to try our best today. And CJ, I know you love stories, but I'm going to start with a story. Mm-hmm. A story about your name. You're Chiranjeevi Malhotra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Sanskrit, the etymology of Chiranjeevi means, Chiran means eternal, long-lasting, and Jeevi is Jeevan or life, and which means someone that works towards
longevity.
Eternal longevity and well-being. Mm-hmm. Now, there is in the ancient Hindu texts, we've heard about Chiranjeevis. Mm-hmm. Some say there are Sapta or seven or Ashta Chiranjeevis, and the famous ones that we all know of, Lord Hanuman, Vedavyasa, and then the eighth one is Markandeya.
Mm-hmm.
So What a name to me, you know. So to me, first question to you is, what has been your calling that brought you to the biohacking industry that made you a modern Chiranjeevi?
Thank you for that. Yeah, we'll go over the Chiranjeevi story a little bit later if we have time. I have something very interesting to share. But for now, my journey to biohacking comes with a lot of curiosity. I've had a lot of health challenges while growing up. And I was obese as a kid. I was not able to even like walk properly at a time. And this got me to, you know, I've had a lot of bullying in school. So a lot of challenges while growing up. And that led me to discover the path of like health and fitness. So it started with martial arts, then like CrossFit and gym and all of these things. And there was a point where I was the fittest person in anyone I knew, but I wasn't really like, you know, you can imagine like 3.5 or 4% body fat, all naturally looking great, but not feeling very good. And that led me to think, even if people are clapping for you on the outside, you could feel really hollow on the inside. And just looking, and this was like years ago. So then I set out to discover what really brings happiness, peace, pleasure on the inside. I was very grateful to travel the world and see, learn from a lot of different people, even though they weren't directly my teachers, but I could look and observe certain things in different cultures and I could learn from them. Most of the times I would even like talk to them and ask them to teach me a few things. And over a period of time, I learned about like inner well-being and like just longevity and how people are so happy. Biohacking came along because I knew what was, how do you get to a certain state, but I could never explain it. So I never had the science or the language to explain it. I could tell people wake up early in the morning and do certain things, but they said, how does it work? I knew it did, but I didn't know how. So that's where I started looking into the science aspect of things. So science for me, or like biohacking, came later, but it just became a way of expressing something which is already there, but now people started receiving it in a better way. Over a period of time, I started discovering, okay, people don't want to do the hard things. How can we make it easy for them? And that's where technology came in. And biohacking, if you look at it, is just a mix of like what ancient wisdom is, and refining it with modern technology, supplements, lifestyle. So I think that was it. I wanted to share a message which was strong enough, but I didn't know how to do it. And then the world started understanding the language of science and biohacking. So I just started talking that way. So that's how it came in. I just wanted to share ways of getting better, but no one wanted to do the old and boring things. So I found a new way to express it.
Wow. I mean, I think you really followed your calling and you've taken it thus far. Of course, we will touch base once again, come back to biohacking a bit later. But in all your podcasts, I've always seen you asking a lot of spiritual, spirituality related questions. So definitely there must be some spiritual anchoring in your life. And of course, we're all spiritual beings, right? So with respect to your spiritual journey, what does spirituality mean to CJ, and how do you get to integrate spirituality into the modern biohacking and all of this scientific stuff that you get to do?
So I guess spirituality starts where biohacking ends. What I mean by that is a lot of people will... So when we look around us, a lot of people are tired, they're sick, they have different kind of neurochemicals that allow them to go to anxiety or depression or panic or all of these states. All of these states which are not desirable, right? So then one of the most common ways that people take is that they go to a doctor or they listen to a podcast and they try different supplements and they hear about biohacking and they're trying red light therapy and they're doing all of these things until they get their energy back and they can get to a certain point. And with any sort of like biohacking, you will hit, like with anything in life, you always hit a wall. And this time when you hit the wall, you have your supplements correct, you have your sleeps correct, your HRV is amazing, your energy is amazing, your view of the world is nice, but then there is something that's missing. And that's something, when you have all the energy and you cannot, and you know that you're not sick, you're energetic, everything is good, what is that other darkness that's there, or what's that other hole? Usually people say like there's this eternal hole in our heart that can only be filled by spirituality or God. So I think that's the point where you say, okay, perfect, there should be more to this beyond our supplements, beyond our biohacking. So I think that's where spirituality starts. And that's actually where it started from me too. I got to a point where everything was great and I was like, okay, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot be in a hyperbaric chamber 24 hours. I cannot be in a red light therapy for life. But there's something missing. There's something that needs... It's like a puzzle. There's some holes which you try to put everything that you can. You try to look at all your five senses and then you're trying to, you know, you're trying to satisfy them, but there's something missing. And the moment you put in an element of, some people call it religion, some people call it God, some people call it spirituality. But the moment that element comes in, suddenly it feels like everything is working. The puzzle is completed. And spirituality also for me is not something that, it's not binary, or it's not like one or zero. We don't know what it is. And every day that you practice the laws of spirituality or something just has been kind, you just up-level yourself.
Mm.
You start feeling better. Others notice something different in you. You get more clarity about the world. You get more calmness in yourself. And there's no limit to it. So the more you do it, the better you feel.
Wow. I mean, we started with the interpretation of your name saying immortal being.
Mm-hmm.
And
I used to hate my name, by the way. Growing up, I used to hate my name because my sister's name is Rebecca. And everyone used to make fun of me in school because of it. I was bullied, right? And I was fat. And then my name was Chiranjeevi. And I grew up here, so most people couldn't pronounce it. That's how CJ came, because most people weren't able to pronounce Chiranjeevi. And I've had very interesting... So this is the story part that I wanted to talk to people about. I didn't really know the meaning of Chiranjeevi until it didn't hit me until the last 4.5 or 5 years. I met a tarot card reader. Long story short, I met someone. I had an online consultation with her. This person was supposed to be really, really good. And like all my friends and family and, you know, they were praising her. So I got to speak to her and suddenly she starts revealing things about my personality and like things that I've done in the past that I have she has no idea about. These things are not documented. She cannot Instagram it or YouTube it. And then in the midst of the conversation, she starts talking about past life. And then she says, you know, that's why your name is Chiranjeevi. And I was like, why? And she said it so casually. It's like, because in your past life, you died at a very young age. And since that time, your soul has been trying to find ways to kind of extend lifespan so you can live more in this life. And I remember ever since growing up, I came from a family which has a lot of health conditions. So I would always hear about my cousin or auntie or grandma or someone having a lot of like health problems. And the only thing I would tell to my mom or my dad is like, I don't want to die young. I don't want to, like, I want to be away from this just because I don't want to suffer like that. So I guess it all makes sense. There's
100%. Like, I mean, because coming from the background of training to be a past life regression therapist and all of that, the moment the understanding that the soul is immortal, mm-hmm. you know, when that understanding comes, the game shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start seeing suffering as a means to then, you know, spiritually evolve and expand and beautiful. Mm-hmm. So what has been the most spiritually transformative moment for Chiranjeevi? Let's use Chiranjeevi now.
Mm. So I've had multiple of them. So mm-hmm. I've gone to Peru, done ayahuasca. I've tried a lot of things. But I think recently I've been to the Mahakumbh.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone doesn't know, this event comes every 6 years. And this time, the one that was there came after more than 100 years.
Yes, right.
And I was blessed enough to be able to go to Mahakumbh and, you know, go to the Sangam River and take a dip. And after that, I went to Varanasi for Mahashivratri. And in that journey, or in after the time that we went into the river, there is something that was happening. It was very unexplainable. It was more, I've never spoken to this about this in front of a camera or to most, like most people don't know about this. It was, Rizwana, it was like I could think of something and that thing would happen right next moment. It's unbelievable. Like in the beginning, I didn't believe it. And then I started to test it. And every time I would test it, it would happen. But instead of getting, and this was the interesting part, even now, if I had that, I would be very excited. I would like to talk to someone. I would love to do different experiments and see. But at that point, there was this inner calmness and this inner knowing that, yes, I'm able to manifest something right in a few moments, but I'm okay with it. It's not a big deal. And now it seems like such a big deal. But in that moment, when all of these things were happening, it was more like, for me, I didn't even feel like, wow. It's like there's a blessing on you, and that blessing allows you to have access to certain abilities or powers or whatever, but you don't even feel like that so much because you're so in this bhakti mode where Seriously. You're just like so grateful, and you're just appreciating what's around you. And these things, I mean, it's there, but you don't want to take advantage of them. You don't want to be excited about them, and you don't even think they're a big deal. And this happened to me all the way till I got to Dubai, and maybe a week or something later as well. And I would have these amazing dreams like these. And usually I don't dream so much, but I would have these amazing, like very visual dreams, and, you know, just lots of amazing experiences. I was very surprised that this could happen without the influence of anything.
I mean, I have goosebumps. So I know certain things we can't articulate.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah, and I really hear you, and I know what you're talking about. So we will touch base with spirituality every now and then. So now that hearing your inspirational story and growing up, who has been your inspirational personality?
So many. When I was growing up, it was Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee.
Okay.
Because I wanted to... I was very amazed with what they could do with their bodies. And I would try to do, even though I had a lot of weight on me, but I would jump on from the top of the bed. And, you know, I used to do martial arts. So those guys were good. Then I was looking at a lot of athletes, like CrossFit athletes, looking at them because, again, they could do something amazing. So I was always inspired. I was like, but there was never a point where I would see someone do something and not think I couldn't do it. So I was like, okay, it's all only about time, because I've always been very laser focused. If mm-hmm. I put my attention and energy into something, for sure, I'll sooner or later, I will be close to that. So it was never like, I can never achieve this. I just said, if I focus enough, I will be able to. So some CrossFit athletes. Recently, if you talk about in the world of biohacking, then when I first got introduced to biohacking, Dave Asprey, who's also called the father of biohacking, he was very inspirational. Just the way he thinks, the way he is. Ben Greenfield had a lot of impact on my life. And then even more recently, I think Sadhguru. Sadhguru has had a huge impact on my life a few years earlier. And I think now, if I talk about the most latest, I think very cliche, but Krishna. I think
he's
had
cliche.
The biggest...
He's another eternal.
Yeah, so I think his teachings, his energy has had a very, very big impact on my life. And when I was talking to you about the Mahakumbh, and it was very interesting because I felt like the presence of Krishna with me all the time. So when I was sleeping, I would feel like I'm sleeping in his lap. Like it's very hard. It could be hallucinations, but it was out of nothing. So I wasn't following Krishna before. And this is the most strange part. I was following Shiva before. I was following Lakshmi before. And I was just like, you know, drawn to them in a way. After I take the dip in Mahakumbh, suddenly something happened and I'm completely drawn and pulled by Krishna.
Wow.
I've heard about his teachings, and I've heard, of course, about Bhagavad Gita. I've had it for some time, but suddenly.
Of course. Wow. I mean, every one of us that have witnessed Mahakumbh, I think it's definitely to be able to make it to that mm-hmm. point, I think it's been written in your soul. Seriously? You did? Okay. No, but I think it's really, really a blessing. And it's a story that you will share with your generations to come, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. So let's now get into the rapid fire.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we will then go into some more deeper reflections.
Sure.
Okay. So your favorite color?
Orange.
Your favorite song?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
There's a singer called Janvi Harrison,
uh-huh.
and she sings this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this is what I'm listening to all day long.
Great. So you are into Krishna all the time, I suppose, now. Okay.
A lot of the times. I listen to podcasts most of the time, so mm-hmm. I don't listen to commercial music anymore. If I have to listen to something, then it will be some mool mantras of some deities. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Wow. No, I do see the shift in your energies, in all our energies, in the collective. So what is your go-to biohacking strategy?
My go-to biohacking strategy is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up early, move your body, make sure you eat the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you connect with a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Get some sunlight, get grounding, sleep early. And these are the most basics. But on the top of this, of course, I love having to be in an infrared sauna, ice bath 2 times or 3 times a week, red light therapy almost every day, meditation on my PEMF mat, oxygen therapy. So all of these things, blue light blocking glasses all day long. So these things are always there. But I think if I was on an island or if I was in a different country, then I would stick to the basics. I would make sure I do my breath work. I'll make sure I do my meditations just to get in the right frame of mind and start my day.
And how early do you wake up? Do you really wake up before Brahma Muhurtam?
4:45.
Oh, wow. So that's around that time. Oh, beautiful. And what does CJ do when he's not biohacking?
When CJ is not biohacking, he's doing jiu-jitsu. actually, CJ is working 99% of the time. So 1% of the time, because I'm lucky that my passion is also my work. But when it comes to work, it's, you know, then there's the marketing, the sales, the planning, the management, the strategy. So I think I'm working 90% of the times, and like 10% of the times that I do find time, I will go for a walk with my dog, Jaeger. I will meet my friends for like paddle boarding, or I'll do something outdoors, spend some time with my sister or my mother. That's it. I don't do anything much. I love being outdoors and I love being active. So anything that I can do to be active. Now the weather is so beautiful in Dubai. So more times to cycle, more times to run.
Yeah. Beautiful. And who has been your favorite guest on your podcast?
Oh, now you're going. Now you're going to put me into a... it's challenging to say because I've learned from all of them. But I guess like the most inspiring one, I interviewed Dr. David Minkoff about like 4 years ago, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. And at that time, Dr. David Minkoff was 71 or 72, and he was still running marathons. And he is one of the pioneers in functional medicine and biohacking in the US. So his energy at that time was amazing. And all the kind of things he was doing, he was still writing, he was still in his office talking to me. He's been very inspiring, not because of all the things that I could learn from him, but as the example that he set, 72 years old, and he's like still recording podcasts. He's he invited me to his clinic in Orlando. And yeah, so I think he was good.
Wow. Okay. So now we are moving into some deeper reflections with respect to CJ and his personal journey so far. As I said, nothing is a coincidence. And you so beautifully articulated it, CJ. In fact, the way that our paths crossed and the synchronicity that you faced in your life and I faced in my life and your childhood and where you are at the moment. And I want to say that like you are an Aquarius. You're January born.
27 Jan,
right? And we are in the age of Aquarius. Like we're sort of transitioning. And nothing is like, as we know, the world of spirituality. As much as we say there are yugas and we are probably, moving into Kali or we've not moved, whatever. And then there is this transitioning into age of Aquarius. But all of these are indicating to innovations, being a rebel, bringing in innovations in health and wellness, especially, and transformation. And your journey and your understanding of like how your soul must have probably like gone through multiple lifetimes to be in here, I see a greater purpose in a sense. Like, looks like everything is sort of aligning with CJ and his journey. So what is CJ's vision in his own journey over the next decade?
For me, over the next decade, I just want to help people optimize themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
For me, biohacking is just another name. It just, the name doesn't really matter, but the meaning and the purpose behind it does. So all that we are trying to do from a standpoint of like the podcast and educating people and bringing guests like yourself and so many others is just to distill down information so someone who can hear it can take one or two points and then apply it into their lives or call their best friend who might be suffering from something and just give them those points. That's already a win. So that's from the educational side. We have about 700 videos on YouTube and now we're getting into YouTube again. So it's more like, if we have access to some information and that some information can help someone else, why not? Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I didn't have access to any information and like the people around me didn't have access to any information as well. So it was very hard for me to like go on the streets, and this was before the internet age. So I had to literally go and talk to everyone that I see who looks good or, you know, who's in a certain way, travel all over the world. It's not worth it going and paying so much for all these scientific conferences and biohacking conferences just to learn something so basic. I think now it's the age of Aquarius, it's the age of AI, it's the age of everything. So I think every person should have access to enough information so they can lead a better life. And that information can come from anywhere else. We can just put what we are trying to do is play our part of sharing whatever we understand and know. And from the company standpoint, because I love biohacking and wellness and optimizing people, we're also bringing in new technologies. And over the next decade, we plan to make biohacking more simpler. Still, there is a lot of like confusion around biohacking and confusion around, is this just for the rich people or this is, can everyone have it? Can everyone not? Is there the right infrastructure for it? So we want to be able to directly talk to consumers and explain to them and educate them why having access to technology can help them as well. And then bring that technology. So close the gap. So in a way, we're educating. And then we're also giving them the tools that they can apply in their daily lives. We're also talking to some schools to, even without tools, like, okay, what is the impact of color? What's the impact of grounding? What's the impact of sunlight? What's the impact of students waking up at a certain time and then spending X amount of time in the morning sun outside, whether they're... So I think it's just transferring of information. I'm very blessed that I have a curious soul that goes beyond the ordinary to extract certain amount of information. And I feel like it's like I'm just a vessel. Like information is passing through me and I'm allowing it to pass through me. So then it can be more tactical for the other person. So, you know, do this, do this, do this. So that's what we're trying to do in the work and the biohacking point. And like in my personal life, I would love to jump much more deeper into the spiritual world, because this is something, these are like, all of this biohacking is just something that I can do to help the world. But also I want to help myself a lot and I want to help the next generation. And I can only do that if I'm in the right state of mind, if I have the right understanding on, or have the right perspective or the lens on reality. Because as we know, like everything that we see around is mostly an illusion. And there's a lot of like noise and very less signal. So for me to be able to, you know, raise my family or raise the next generation, I need to be clear on what is the illusion. And like in traditional terms, we say, what is Maya and what is not Maya? So every day I try a little bit to understand and get more closer to realizing in this material world what is Maya and what's not. That's my journey.
Wow. You know, sometimes I go speechless, not because I forgot the script, but because I hear your journey of Krishna entering into your life. Like the anchoring, Krishna has always been there, but then you've started to feel his essence. And for interviewing you, I did my reading. And then when I was just seeing the pieces of puzzle sort of, you know, just being brought together, and I'm like, if this is not synchronicity, if this is not serendipity, then what else is? I am.
The entire world is like, we like to always think of, so our ego rather tells us that X is happening because of us and Y is happening because we worked really hard, but there are much greater truth to this world and this reality, and we are all just like, it's happening, it's already going to happen. We should be lucky that it's happening through us.
Yeah.
And some things, you know, like some things are destined. It's just going to happen. Whether it happens through you, that's, you know, your luck probably.
Exactly. You're just blessed, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think we're all instruments in this journey of helping people live happier lives by, you know, improving your evolution of their own consciousness. So I was talking about this age of Aquarius, and I did pretty much reading, because being in this spiritual industry, I call it industry because sometimes, you know, you have all of these offerings and you need to know your stuff, right? And earlier I would sort of put all of this as woo-woo, you know, like 5 years back. And I read a lot about the shifting from Pisces to Aquarius. And as I was just looking at your profile, and I'm like, it's so right.
Yeah, okay.
That the characteristics, as you said, your tarot reader, how she was spot on with your personality. And then also, like, you know, we say that when after Krishna, it's Kali Yuga is what we believe in. But then we are also shifting between, sometimes, you know, it's not linear. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like there is definitely,
yeah, we cannot understand it.
We don't understand this. There's some glitch in the matrix. I sometimes feel like I am in parallel dimensions, like, mm-hmm, at the same time. Yeah. So, but Dwapara is the Yuga of suffering, mm-hmm, where wellness, mm-hmm, you know, like Dhanvantri, mm-hmm, Lord Dhanvantri, that we are celebrating today, we are, mm-hmm, honoring today. And people like you, the biohackers, people that work with mind, body and soul, not just sees the human being as, like, because usually the conventional medical world, mm-hmm, would treat you, your symptom, would treat, yeah, your body, would treat you for that. They don't even look at the etiology. They don't go dive deeper, right? Okay, you have headache. Okay, take this pill.
Panadol,
right? Over the counter.
And then your liver has headaches.
Right. Or you go Google headaches, or you have brain tumor.
Yeah.
Right? So, and now you have the GPTs. Thank you. Like, you know, you have chat GPTs.
It's the best.
It's all over. And now this is when people like us that work with mind, body and soul are even more important. So what is your advice, wellness advice, or whatever you want to call it, as to the, you're not old, but to the upcoming generation, in a sense, what do you want to say?
Moderation is key. So I think very few times we have this personality. And I mean, it's just human of us, right? To think of it this way. If something is good, more of that thing will be better. And if I'm having, you know, a classic example, and this doesn't work really, because having water is good, but if you have a lot of water, you can have hyponatremia and you could die. A lot of people every year in the marathon, they drink so much of water, and then their fluid balance and the sodium in their blood changes, and then they get a heart attack and they die. Same with, like, working out. You could say that, okay, working out an hour is good, but if you do it 7 hours a day, for 8 days, you're going to fall sick. Same with fasting, same with everything. And so there have been, and I think in classic India or traditional India, these teachings have been very prevalent for a very long time, that whatever you do, don't do too much and don't do too less, because nature doesn't operate on too much. Nature doesn't operate on the extremes. It operates in the Goldilocks zone, from the temperature in our body to, you know, to the way the planets are moving. Everything is very precise. So if you can just stick to, like, you know, stick to two zones and stick in the middle, it's probably the best. I see a lot of people now, if they're watching Netflix, they're watching too much, or they're not watching anything. If they're smoking and drinking, they're doing too much. Not doing it is actually good, but but yeah, so moderation. Don't eat too much. Don't sleep too much. Don't try to practice this moderation. And that moderation also allows you to have better self-discipline. It allows you to access certain states as well. Think about fasting for like a day or two. So yeah, there's a lot of benefits in moderation. So I think for most young people, where we get too carried away, and I was like that. I used to get carried away with everything. I was always the extreme person. But now I think about having, like, you know, like the Buddha said, like, find the middle way. Yeah, so finding the middle way, because the world always punishes the extreme. So if you are on either side of the extreme, the world will find a way to punish you, and don't get punished.
Wow. See, apparently we live in a world of duality as in polarity, right? As much as we say, oh, Kali, dark, dark, we discuss this in our podcast. Without darkness, there is no light. We don't get to perceive light. Without suffering, there is no perception of joy. But it is once again about not seeing one as good or bad. But the beauty and the blessing in the current era is the access. It's the access to technologies. And when I came into Dubai and when I met people like you, I was like, wow. You know, this is a place where you have access to all of this stuff and it's not super expensive. It's not that you need to like, you know, spend $1 million. So if you're able to work on your longevity, if you're able to work on your mind, body and soul, and if we have spiritually centered, anchored, heart-centered entrepreneurs and wellness experts like you, I'm sure that the future for the biohacking industry is definitely, definitely bright. And I'm very, very happy, optimistic and super inspired by all of you. I mean, you guys are really doing a great job. And when you enter into spirituality, this is the beauty. Like your mind opens up and you start seeing things that you've never perceived before. And of course, with Krishna on board...
Hope he's still there.
Of course. He's never going to leave us, you know. The vision that you have, that I felt it long back. And in our conversation, I decided that day. Sometimes when conversations are really... It's not just conversation. Both the parties get transformed, right, in a conversation, if it's really a great conversation. So you were asking me questions, but a large part of my overthinking mind was like, no, I have to ask him questions. And that vision has come true today. And once again, thank you, CJ, for being this beautiful soul, the brother that I got in this country. Of course, we will interact more and we will definitely see what best we can do to uplift the lives of fellow souls that are on their healing journey. So any final words of closure, wisdom?
Since I'm a podcaster, I'll ask you a question.
Oh my goodness, I didn't prepare for this. Please
so,
go ahead.
Just like you asked me, what would be the one advice that you would give to like the younger generation to optimize their health or, you know, wellness? What would be the one advice that you would give to the younger generation to optimize their soul?
Wow. Yeah, so this is the advice that I would give to my own younger version is to prioritize your inner work because a lot of times the glamour and glitter pulls us and then we are always running behind that shiny object, right? But nothing is going to fulfill you until you find that anchoring and the fulfillment within, which is... Find your anchoring. If it's God, it's God. If it is universe, it's universe. If it is your purpose, it's your purpose. If it's Krishna, it's Krishna. But ask yourself, ask your own soul, and the soul knows it. As you said, I was searching for so many things. I became the best biohacker. And then there is this void. I was the same person. I was climbing on ladders after ladders, got everything. By the time I hit my 30s, the youngest, published papers, and then the void. And then I realized that the void was the search for God. And he was nowhere. He was within. Right? So the earlier you find that anchoring and fulfillment, and then you explore your journey with that anchoring, your journey will be more joyous, more fulfilled. You won't be running behind things chasing for happiness. You will be doing things with happiness. You won't be doing things for happiness. You will be doing things with happiness. And then you will realize that happiness has always been an inside job. And that's exactly, I would say, especially being an advocate for mental health, handling a lot of mental health issues on a day-to-day basis, counseling people, seeing the void, which is becoming a real pandemic. Loneliness and mental health issues are hitting us really hard more than ever before. I think do this anchoring, and of course reach out to people like us to for ways and means to find the anchoring. And the moment you find that, you can't even imagine how the journey is going to be. Right? That's what my advice would be. Of course.
Perfect.
Yeah,
thank you. I think this was a very important message that had to come out. That's why I asked you that question.
Wow. You said channeling at the beginning. I'm going to channel Riz, you said. And I think that's been a success of people like us in the spiritual world, because we somehow, you know, we've conveyed this idea through our podcasts and all the vlogs and everything that we do, that spirituality is once again not something that's just out there for you. It's something that's always been within, because we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience.
I love it.
And thank you, CJ.
Thank you.
Once again.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.